Hello, I'm R.L. Stein. I'm sure you know the old story about the genie who pops out of the bottle and promises to grant 3 wishes. But what if it happened to you? Would you make the wishes, or would you be afraid? Maybe you'd better not decide until you hear our story from the Ghosts of Fear Street. It's called 3 Evil Wishes.
Simon & Schuster Audio presents R.L. Stein's Ghosts of Fear Street. 3 Evil Wishes.
Come on, Hannah. Why can't you get this dumb nose right?
I always talk to myself when I'm working on my sculptures. It helps me be more creative. But today it's not helping. No matter what I do, I can't get my life-size sculpture of Jesse right. The nose is all wrong. I made him look like a monkey. Even though Jesse is my stepbrother and not my brother, we do look a bit alike. We both have pale blonde hair, and we're both sort of short. Okay. We're both really short. In fact, when Professor Polak, my sculpture teacher, gave me the clay to make a life-size sculpture of myself, I had enough left over to make one of Jesse. My mom loves everything I make. She even turned part of her garage into a studio for me. My studio is great. It has absolutely everything I need. A sink, palette knives, and tons of paintbrushes. I even have a full-length mirror against the wall so I can paint and sculpt myself. The only problem with my studio is that it's on Fear Street. So is my house. Everyone knows that scary things happen on Fear Street. Kids at school tell stories all the time about ghosts and strange creatures roaming the Fear Street woods. I've lived here all my life, and so far no creepy things have happened to me. So far. Well, back to my sculpture. Let's see if I can fix Jesse's nose.
Hannah! Are you in there? Come on in, Jesse!
Jesse opened the garage door. He looked upset.
My sneakers. They got my sneakers.
I looked down. Jesse's sneakers were covered in mud. I swallowed hard. I knew what had happened. He didn't have to tell me.
The Berger Brothers.
Mike and Roy Berger are 2 huge walruses pretending to be 12-year-old kids. Really, they must be the biggest kids in history. And since Jesse and I are just about the shrimpiest kids in school, guess who the bouncing Berger Brothers choose to pick on all the time? You got it.
Those Berger Brothers, they stomped mud on my new white high tops. Then Mike held me down, and Roy unlaced both sneakers and took the laces. Then they just took off.
The Berger Brothers always act fast, then run away.
Why did they do it?
Stupid question. Because I already knew the answer. They did it because they're... the Berger Brothers.
Who knows why they did it? You know Mike and Roy. They never talk, they only grunt.
Jesse is right. The longest sentence I ever heard a Berger Brother say is yo.
I'm sick of their stupid jokes. I'm sick of the names they call me, and I'm sick of those stupid skateboards they're always riding. Sorry, Jesse. There's not a lot we can do. They're big, we're small. Big kids pick on small kids. They can't help themselves. It's their nature.
Well, it's not fair. Hey, maybe if I start working out, you know, lifting weights, getting myself really pumped up, then I could take on those burgers.
Jesse stepped in front of the full-length mirror. His sneakers sloshed on the concrete garage floor. He stuck his chest out and curled his arms up like a weightlifter. I burst out laughing.
It's not funny, Hannah. I wish those Berger Brothers would just disappear. I really do.
After After school the next afternoon, Jesse and I made our way to Fear Lake. Fear Lake is a short walk through the Fear Street woods. The woods are dark and creepy, but the lake is quiet and pretty. Jesse and I dropped our backpacks on the ground and began hunting for flat stones. He and I have a championship stone skipping contest. I bent down to pick up a smooth white stone. The sun moved behind a thick cloud. A wave of cold rushed over me, the same chill I feel when I think someone's watching me. My eyes narrowed on a cluster of leafy shrubs. The shrubs shook. A dark shape moved up from behind them.
No, it can't be.
A second form stepped up from the bushes. The Burger Brothers.
Yo!
That was Mike.
Hey, yo!
And that was Roy.
Good vocabulary.
I shoved Jesse.
Shut up! Don't get them angry!
The Burger Brothers shuffled towards us, their big bellies bouncing under their t-shirts. Their dirty brown hair was combed over their foreheads, nearly covering their puffy round blue eyes.
Yo, how come you're here?
We're just skipping stones.
Yeah? Show us.
I picked up a flat white stone. Then I stepped to the edge of the shore. I pulled my hand back and tossed the stone across the surface of the lake. It skipped twice before it sank.
You stink.
Mike let out a high-pitched giggle and shoved Jesse toward the water.
You try, shrimp.
Okay, okay.
Jesse already had a stone in his hand. He heaved it hard. It skipped once, then it sank, causing ripples in the blue-green water.
You stink, too.
Can you do better?
Yeah, watch.
Roy sneered at Jesse. Then he picked up Jesse's backpack, raised it high above his head, and heaved it into the lake. The black backpack floated on top of the water for about 5 seconds. Then it sank to the bottom.
Look, Mike, it didn't skip. Let me try.
Mike picked up my backpack and tossed it into the water. It sank even quicker than Jesse's.
Mine didn't skip either. Guess you two win. Come on, Roy, let's get out of here.
Losers.
Our books, our homework, all on the bottom of Fear Lake.
I'm going to get those burgers one day. My science project is in my backpack. My homework is in there, my textbooks, everything.
I pulled off my shoes and my socks and rolled up my jeans as high as they would go.
Hannah, you're not going in there, are you? Into Fear Lake?
Fear Lake, just like Fear Woods, had a pretty creepy reputation. Still, what choice did we have? I looked back at Jesse and he was rolling up his jeans too. At least I wouldn't have to go into Fear Lake alone. As I waded into the freezing cold water, I wished for a way to pay back those Burger Brothers. And then...
Jesse, something slimy just brushed against my leg. Something slimy in Fear Lake just brushed against my leg. Something's here in the water. Something alive.
I started to wade back to shore, fast. Jesse grabbed my wrist and pulled me back.
It was probably just a fish, Hannah.
I sure hope so. As Jesse reached down in the water and pulled out his mud-soaked backpack, I noticed something bobbing in slow circles just under the surface of the water. The strange object began to bob toward me. A voice in the back of my mind told me to get out of the lake, to stay away from that thing in the water. I should have listened, but instead, I reached my hand out to grab it. I wrapped my fingers around the object. A bottle? An ordinary brown glass bottle? With a cork in it. What a relief. Nothing spooky or weird about a bottle. Someone probably threw it in the lake after a picnic. I was about to drop the bottle back into the water when I noticed something strange about it. It should have been cold, but it felt warm. Warmer than my hand. I held on to the bottle as I hunted for my backpack. I grabbed up my backpack. Gross! It was covered with clumps of soggy green weeds. As I waded back to the shore with the bottle in my backpack, the bottle jerked in my hand.
Hey, Jess! Check out this bottle! It feels warm and...
I nearly dropped it. I tried to peer through the brown glass, but it was thick and dirty. I couldn't see a thing. Get a grip, Hannah. Nothing could be living in this old bottle. I turned to Jesse. He was staring at his mud-soaked backpack.
Totally ruined! Now I have to tell Dad about my sneakers and my backpack! He'll freak! He will totally freak!
I began to answer Jesse when I felt my hand growing warmer. The bottle was heating up. It jerked in my hand again, harder this time.
Hey, what's that, Hannah?
What does it look like, Brain? It's a bottle I found in the lake.
Jesse grabbed it.
Wow, it looks really old. Yuck! It's hot!
I wasn't going crazy. There really was something strange about that bottle.
Hey, maybe there's money inside.
Put it down, Jess.
What's your problem, Hannah? It's just a bottle. I'm gonna open it.
I grabbed the bottle back from Jesse.
Wait, there's something written on the side. Maybe it's important.
A yellow label clung to the side of the bottle. The letters on it were so faded, I could barely make them out.
Danger. Do not open.
The bottle began to vibrate in my hand. I jumped. This was definitely not my imagination. I dropped the bottle onto the ground and kicked it away.
That bottle is definitely weird. I'm not opening it. I don't even want it near me. Let's go, Jesse. We're not supposed to open that bottle.
Jesse reached down to pick up the bottle.
That's stupid, Hannah.
Jesse took hold of the cork. I reached out to swipe the bottle from him. Too late. He grasped the cork and pulled it out of the bottle. A stream of thick purple gas shot out from the bottle. The bottle fell out of Jesse's hand.
Whoa!
The purple gas swirled around us like a tornado. It lifted up leaves and twigs. It howled through the trees.
Hannah! Whoa! Check it out! Jesse! What's happening?
I raised my eyes. Dark purple clouds of smoke gathered together, growing thicker. The purple clouds floated together to form a thick ball of whirling gas. They pulled together, thickened, took shape. I saw two arms, a broad chest, two legs formed from the swirling purple gas, and then a head rose on top of the swirling body. A man's head. An old man's head. The smoke stopped twirling. The body settled to the ground. We couldn't believe our eyes. An old man, all shades of purple, stood before us in a flowing purple robe. He blinked his purple eyes. He worked his jaw and rubbed his chin.
Who are you?
The purple man raised one arm high in the air. I gasped. What did he plan to do? He turned his head slowly and sniffed his armpit.
Oh, whew. I need a bath. A long bath.
With a grimace, he turned to me.
You'd stink too if you'd been inside a bottle for 100 years. Whew, I need a long bath and a massage. That's what I need. Being folded up so small gives me such a cramp.
Are you for real? I mean, did you really come out of that bottle?
Well, I didn't take a taxi.
I chuckled. The old guy had a sense of humor. He stopped stretching and made a short bow to us.
You are my new masters. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is All-Powerful Magical Genie of the Lost Kingdoms of the Great and Golden Raj. But most people just call me Jean.
You're a genie? A real live genie? No way!
Well, it's a living.
You're a genie, just like in all the old stories.
Well, in the stories, the genies don't have heartburn the way I do. Oh, I need some seltzer. You build up a thirst bobbing around in a bottle. Take my word.
Suddenly, Jean's expression changed. His purple eyes grew dark, solemn. He smiled, showing two rows of crooked purple teeth.
I can grant you 3 wishes.
Just like in all the old stories?
Could you please stop saying that? I'm not that old. Now, as I was saying, you get 3 wishes. Anything you want. You name it, it's yours. But beware, once you've made your 3 wishes, that's it. No more. They're gone for good. And you cannot reverse them, so don't even ask.
Let's do it, Hannah. Let's make a wish right now.
I don't know. Wishes don't always work out in those old stories.
Well, it's up to you. You take a chance or you don't take a chance.
I want to take a chance. Let's see. I wish...
I clamped my hand over my brother's mouth and pulled him toward the lake.
Think about this, Jesse. I found the bottle in Fear Lake. Nothing but evil ever comes out of there. If he came out of Fear Lake, he's probably evil too.
Come on, Hannah, stop being such a chicken. Let's make a wish. Just think of all the cool things we can wish for. How can we pass it up?
Jesse, you're not thinking clearly. You're not thinking about the bad things that could happen. This could be really dangerous. How do we know we can trust the old guy?
Just think, Hannah. Anything we want. Anything.
I stole a glance at Gene. He was taking deep breaths, coughing, stretching his arms. He smiled at me, a strange smile. No, we shouldn't be messing with this guy. Something bad is going to happen. I just feel it. I gazed at the genie, then I gazed at Jesse. Should we make a wish? Should we?
Okay, Jesse, let's try it.
Yes!
Good choice. That's the choice I would have made.
My stomach tightened with excitement. I began to think of what I could wish for. My eyes wandered around the lake. They came to rest on our mud-soaked backpacks.
I've got it! I know what we should wish for. What if we could get revenge on the Burger Brothers?
All right! That would be awesome! But how?
I whispered my idea into Jesse's ear. How about we wish we were bigger and stronger than the Burger Brothers?
Secret? If you want your wish, you can't keep it a secret. Genies really don't like secrets.
Suddenly, bubbles rose to the surface of the lake. Wisps of steam started to lift off the water. The water churned and foamed. The lake was boiling.
Are you doing that?
I don't like whispering.
Okay, we're sorry. No whispering.
Gene's face relaxed. The water calmed. The steam vanished.
Got a wish yet?
Yes. I wish that Jesse and I were bigger and stronger than Mike and Roy Berger.
Jesse nodded his head in agreement. Gene bowed to us again.
Your wish is my command.
The genie closed his eyes and let his chin drop to his chest. Then he raised his arms up to the sky and waved them from side to side. He swung his hips back and forth. I stifled the giggle. Gene appeared to be doing some strange sort of hula dance. I looked up to the sky and saw a swirling mass of purple smoke spinning downward. The purple tornado swept around us, blinding us. I couldn't breathe. My skin started to prickle, as if someone were jabbing hundreds of needles into it. I rubbed my arms frantically, trying to make it stop itching. Pain shot through my arms and legs. I could feel my muscles and bones shifting and stretching. My skin tightened, as if it were going to rip right off my body. I heard a loud ripping sound. I gasped for breath as purple smoke cleared. Frantically, I examined myself. That ripping sound, it was my clothes, my jeans, my shirt, were ripped to shreds. I was alive. I was okay. But somehow, I felt different. Really different. What happened? I gazed around, searching for Jesse.
Oh, no! No!
I stared down at Jesse. He hadn't changed a bit. But me? I was enormous. At least 8 feet tall and as wide as a garage. I stared down at my huge body in horror. Big muscles bulged all over me. Huge, rippling muscles like a bodybuilder.
Hannah? What happened? You changed, but I didn't.
I turned my huge head to the genie.
Gene, what did you do? What happened? This isn't what we wished for. I'm a muscle-bound giant and Jesse's still pipsqueak.
Hey!
Sorry, Jesse. Gene!
Oops.
Oops? Oops? That's all you have to say?
Must be my eyesight. You know, 100 years of staring through a brown bottle. I was aiming for both of you. Guess I missed.
you missed?
Look, you said you wanted to be bigger than the Berger brothers. You're bigger. You can handle them for the both of you.
But that wasn't the deal. Look at me. I'm a freak. Change me back.
I'm sorry. I can't do that.
What do you mean you can't do that?
Okay. Stop shouting. Oh, you're giving me such a headache. I can change you back. But it'll cost you a wish.
Excuse me? No way. You're the one who messed up. Why should we waste a wish because you made a mistake?
Oh, those are the rules, kids. You want to change back? It costs you a wish. I don't write the rules. I only carry them out. It's a job, you know?
A real genie wouldn't admit that he was wrong. A real genie would change his back for free. I guess you're just a big fake, with a capital F.
You shouldn't call me names. You shouldn't whisper, and you shouldn't call me names.
A wave of hot air swirled around me, choking me. I gasped for breath. Behind me, the lake began to bubble and turn again. I felt weak and dizzy. Sweat poured down my face.
Okay. I'm sorry, you're not a fake.
The genie waved a hand. And the waves of heat disappeared. A cool breeze brushed against my skin. I took a deep breath and let the fresh air wash over me. Now I knew we had to stay on Gene's good side. He was powerful. Very powerful. And he could use that power against us.
I have decided to give you a break. I admit there was a tiny mix-up, so I'll change you back. But next time, you'll have to use a wish.
Gene bowed to me. Then he closed his eyes and started to hum. He tilted his face up to the sky and began to wave his arms in the air. He began to dance his crazy hula. I shut my eyes tight as a tornado of swirling purple gas blasted out of the sky and covered me again. The prickling sensation spread over my skin. The purple smoke cleared as quickly as it had appeared. I glanced down at my feet. They looked normal again. I felt my neck. Yes! As scrawny as ever. I sighed and stretched my arms above my head. It felt good.
I don't know about you, Jesse, but I've had enough of this wish stuff for one day.
Yeah, me too.
Jesse dusted off his jeans and picked up his soaking wet backpack. I picked up the bottle and held it out to Gene.
Come on, Gene. Back inside the bottle. We'll bring you out again later, after we have some time to think about our next wish.
Gene folded his arms across his chest. He shook his head. No.
What do you mean? We're the masters, right? What we say goes, remember?
I am not going back in that bottle. I have such a pain in my neck, and my knees still ache. No way I'm going back in that cramped little bottle. You will have to take me home with you.
You can't come home with us. Our parents would freak.
Aren't your parents away on that business trip?
Hey, how'd you know that?
But Gene just smiled.
Besides, no one sees me unless I want them to. I'm a genie, remember? Now, let's go home.
When we got home, Jesse and I led Gene up to Jesse's room. Gene glanced around and screwed up his face. Jesse's room was always a mess. Gene reached down and picked up the remote clicker to Jesse's TV. He seemed puzzled.
That's for the TV.
Don't spell out your words. Don't whisper. Don't call names. And don't spell out your words. It drives me crazy.
I pointed across the room.
That's called the TV. You can watch things on it.
Jesse took the remote clicker and turned on the TV. Gene smiled as a cartoon came on.
You watch for a while. Hannah and I'll go talk about our next wish, okay?
This TV is some kind of magic. I wonder how it works. Genies are very curious, you know. You need to be curious to be a genie. If you aren't curious, you never learn anything, right?
We left Gene muttering to himself in Jesse's bedroom and made our way to the end of the hall to talk in private.
Maybe we should make 2 more wishes, real quick. We could...
Too dangerous. We have to be careful. Our first wish was a disaster.
But we know we want to do something about the Burger Brothers, right?
I'm not so sure. Gene is so weird. He might mess up again and do something terrible to us.
It's very quiet in there. I don't hear the TV anymore.
Maybe we should make 2 dumb wishes, you know? Ask for a closet full of candy bars and a stack of $100 bills. Just to get rid of them.
No way. I just keep picturing my backpack, all soaked and drenched in mud. My science project that I worked 6 weeks on, totally ruined. I really want to pay back Mike and Roy. I really do.
I think it's a bad idea. I don't think we can trust Gene. I think we have to get rid of him as fast as we can.
Take some time to think about it, please, Hannah. I'm going in to check on Gene.
Okay, Jesse. I'll be in my studio. As I headed down the stairs to go out to the garage, I heard Jesse open the door to his bedroom. Then I heard the door slam. I stopped on the steps to listen.
Gene! What have you done? You took apart the whole TV!
I'm just trying to figure out how it works. Oh, too many parts. It's a lot more complicated than a steam iron. But don't worry. I'm pretty sure I can get it back together. Pretty sure.
My sneakers, my backpack, and now my TV.
I knew Jesse was banging his head against the wall. I headed out to my studio. Working on my self-portrait sculpture helped me to forget about Gene and the remaining wishes. I carved away at the clay chin, making it a little pointier. I worked on the hair, the nose, the hands, glancing at myself in the full-length mirror as I worked. Before I knew it, an hour had gone by. Then I heard it. The scraping sounds of the skateboard wheels. The Burger Brothers. Why did I leave the garage door open? I took a deep breath and concentrated on my sculpture, hoping maybe they would just go away. I wasn't that lucky.
Hey, yo!
I looked up as Mike burst into the garage. Roy followed behind him.
Yo, hey!
What are you two creeps doing here? Isn't it past your bedtime?
She's funny, huh, Roy? Yo, what's up?
Would you two please leave? I'm trying to work. And hey!
Yo, Mike, think fast!
Roy had pulled the head off my sculpture and heaved it across the garage to his brother.
Stop it! Give it back!
I jumped up and dove at Mike. He held the clay head high, out of my reach. Mike examined the head and held it out for his brother's inspection.
What do you think, Roy? Dog or pig?
More like a monkey. Just like this monkey in the middle.
They tossed it back and forth to each other. I ran between them, reaching up to catch the head, and missing. Each time one of the burgers caught the head, the wet clay made a sickening splat. And I could see the head squish flatter and flatter.
Please stop! You don't know how long I worked on that!
Yo, Mike! Should I give it back?
Your call, bro.
Okay, you can have it back. Catch!
He flung the head straight up into the air. I watched it sail up until it hit the ceiling of the garage. It stuck for a moment, then started to fall. I made a diving catch. The head brushed against my fingertips. Then it splattered on the concrete floor at my feet. I knelt by the head of my sculpture. I picked it up. A gray, shapeless blob. My whole body trembled in anger.
I think we fixed it, don't you, Roy?
They hooted and howled. Then they climbed back on their skateboards and disappeared.
Okay, burgers. You asked for it. This time you messed with me once too often. It's payback time.
I found Jesse and Gene in Jesse's room. Gene was down on his hands and knees, puzzling over the pieces of the TV set. I dragged Jesse into my room and told him that I agreed with him.
We have to make a wish to pay back the Burger Brothers. But how should we ask it? We have to be careful. How about if we wish that they get stuck on their skateboards permanently?
Not good. They'd probably like that.
You're right. What if we made them really fat? So fat that they could barely move.
I don't think making them bigger is such a good idea.
I shut my eyes and tried to think of terrible things Jean could do to the burgers. But each time, I always thought of ways Jean could get it wrong.
I've got it. We'll make a wish for Mike and Roy to be terrified of us. Just the way we are of them. Every time they look at us, they'll shake from fear. Imagine them running away from us, the two shrimpiest kids in the class.
I thought it over. As hard as I tried, I couldn't think of any way Jean could mess it up.
It's perfect. There's no way we could get hurt if we make that wish.
All right. Let's make the wish right now. I can't wait.
Jesse and I dragged Jean away from the TV pieces and brought him into my room.
Okay, Jean, listen up. We have a very important wish to make.
So, make a wish.
We wish for Mike and Roy Berger to be terrified of us just the way we are of them.
But you can't change us at all. They have to be scared of us just the way we are.
That's an easy one. A lot easier than putting the TV back together.
Jean closed his eyes. He waved his arms and hips around in his crazy hula. In a moment, he turned himself into a cloud of sour purple smoke. Jesse and I watched as the cloud drifted up to the ceiling and then floated out of the window.
By tomorrow, the Berger brothers will be totally afraid of us. I can't wait to go to school in the morning.
The next day, Jesse and I were so excited. We ran all the way to school. We couldn't wait to see the Berger brothers whimper and cry when we walked by. We hurried straight to our lockers. The Berger brothers usually wait for us there. They like to tease us first thing in the morning. But this morning, they were nowhere in sight. The one morning we were looking forward to seeing them, and they're late for school. Jesse and I would have to wait and see them at lunch. Those big apes never missed a meal. At lunchtime, I sat with my friends Kristen and Laura at our usual table by the windows. While they talked about our math test, I scanned the lunchroom. Where were they? Those two never skipped school. They hated to miss the chance to tease Jesse and me all day. I caught sight of Jesse on my way out of the lunchroom. He hadn't seen them either. A queasy feeling gripped my stomach. Something was wrong. Very wrong. Jean had messed up again. I just knew it. I kept thinking about the Berger brothers all afternoon. Finally, the bell rang at the end of the day. I caught up with Jesse and his friends out front. Danny, one of Jesse's friends, was talking about a rumor he heard when he was walking by the teacher's lounge. The Berger brothers had disappeared. As soon as we got home, Jesse and I went straight to my studio in the garage. I slumped down on an old armchair in the corner.
It's all our fault. We made a wish, and Jean made them disappear.
But that really isn't what we wished. It's not really our fault.
Of course it is. We have to get Jean back here. He has to tell us what he did.
Why? The Berger brothers are finally out of our lives for good. I think it's great.
But Jesse, what about Mrs. Berger? She's always so nice to us. I'll bet she's freaking out right now.
I guess. All right. Let's get Jean back here. He still owes us a wish anyway.
No more wishes. Jean doesn't know what he's doing. He's too dangerous.
So we won't wish for anything dangerous. We'll wish for new bikes or something. That can't hurt us.
Jean will find some way to mess it up. He'll make the bikes bigger than our house, or they'll have a mind of their own and take us where we don't want to go. We're not making any more wishes. All we're going to do is call Jean and make him bring back Mike and Roy, wherever they are.
But how do we call him? It's not like he has a phone number.
Jesse was right. We hadn't seen Gene since he disappeared at the window the night before. I thought about it for a few moments. Then I had an idea. I ran inside the house. Seconds later, I came back carrying a little portable TV Mom keeps in the kitchen. I set the TV on a box and plugged it in. I turned it on and cranked up the volume.
Gene! Gene! Would you like to see how this TV works?
We waited. Soon, a wisp of purple smoke drifted into the garage from outside. A few seconds later, Gene stood before us.
Can I really take apart this TV? It's so small. I'm pretty sure I could put this one back together.
I stepped between Gene and the TV.
Not so fast. What did you do to the Berger brothers? They disappeared last night.
Gene seemed surprised.
They did? Oh, they disappeared? But I wanted to make them small and weak so that they would be terrified of you.
You made them disappear.
Wow. I'm so out of practice. All those years in the bottle. You get a little rusty, you know? Oh, well. Those are the breaks, huh?
I struggled to keep calm. I didn't want to make Gene angry again.
Gene, please. You've got to do something about Mike and Roy. You have to find them.
What? You're not happy? You want them back?
Yes, it isn't right. You can't just make two kids disappear.
Whatever.
Gene stood straight and closed his eyes. He reached his arms out to an open garage door and chanted something in another language. Gene swayed his arms and hips from side to side as he chanted. Nothing happened. No burgers anywhere. Were they really gone forever? Then I caught a flash of movement at the doorway. Two baby bunnies hopped up to the driveway. They stared at Jesse and me. As I walked closer, their furry little bodies trembled with fear.
You! Hey, you!
No way! It couldn't be!
Jesse, I think those bunnies, I think they're Mike and Roy!
Jesse and I stared down at the bunnies.
You! You, hey!
Oh, wow! It's true, it is Mike and Roy!
See? My magic did work. I made them into timid little bunny rabbits. Now, every time they see you, they will be afraid of you. Oh, I wish I could kiss myself. I am good. I am good.
Jesse dropped to his knees. He stared down at the trembling bunnies.
Boo! Ha! See how that feels, you jerks?
Gene, you've got to turn them back. They can't stay like that.
Huh? I did what you wished.
No, it's no good. Turn them back. Turn them back. Now.
Nope. No way.
Excuse me?
Rules are rules. I cannot turn the bunnies back into boys unless you wish for it. You've got to use your third wish.
That's not fair. We never asked for this.
Ah, but you did. You said you wanted these guys to be frightened of you just the way you're frightened of them. And now they are. You should be congratulating me. Oh, I'm good.
Jesse, we've got no choice. We have to use our third wish. We can't do this, not even to Mike and Roy.
Well, they're definitely cuter this way. But you're right. Gene, go ahead and turn them back to their nasty old selves.
Whatever you say, Master, this is your last wish.
Gene stood up and stretched. He closed his eyes and went into his trance, waving his arms and doing his crazy hula dance. When we saw the purple smoke swirling towards us from outside, Jesse and I braced ourselves. As it came closer, it whipped up papers and paintbrushes in the garage. Rakes and ladders fell off their hooks and flew through the air. I ran into the corner. Jesse followed. We crouched there together, ducking for cover. I couldn't see the bunnies through the purple smoke. Finally, the smoke swirled out of the garage and lifted up into the sky. The Berger brothers stood in the doorway of the garage, hugging each other. Their eyes were bulging, and their faces were chalk white.
Mike, let's get out of here.
The two boys ran out of our garage, like two scared rabbits.
How rude. They didn't even say thank you. Well, I'm sorry to say that was your last wish.
That's okay. I'm glad. Now, time to go back where you came from.
I held up Jean's bottle. I couldn't wait to get that genie out of our lives forever. Jean waved his hands as if shooing away the bottle.
Put that thing down. I'm not going in there. I am never going back into that bottle again.
What do you mean?
I explained it to you. I'm never going back in. We made a deal. One of you has to go into the bottle now.
For a second, I couldn't breathe. I felt as though someone had kicked me in the stomach.
What are you talking about?
I told you. Once you've used all your wishes, one of you must take my place in the bottle. You must choose which one of you it will be. That is your payment for the three wishes. One of you will live in the bottle until the end of time. A deal is a deal.
But you never told us that. You never explained that.
Didn't I? Oh, I guess I forgot. Sorry about that. Well, I've explained it now. Better late than never, huh? Well, who's it going to be? Hannah or Jesse?
We never would have agreed to that. How could you do this to us? We thought you were our friend.
I'm a genie, not a friend. It's a job, you know. And really, it's not so bad. It's a perfectly nice bottle. A little cramped, maybe. But it's warm and dry in there. After a while, you forget your old life completely. Maybe you'll get lucky. Maybe your bottle will smash against some rocks someday. Set you free. It could happen.
I rubbed my hands over my face. My skin felt cold and clammy. We're doomed, I thought. Doomed.
You can't do this to us. We're your masters. I let you take apart my TV. And now...
Quiet! I'm getting a headache from all this talk. You are no longer my masters. I do not have to listen to you any longer. I granted you three wishes.
Jean floated up from the floor. And as he floated, he grew. Purple waves of energy sparked off him. His face turned dark and menacing.
You must choose now! Which one of you goes into the bottle? Which one?
We need time to decide.
I was stalling for time. Jesse and I had to go somewhere and think. Think of a way out of this mess.
Fine. I'll give you till midnight.
He rose up over Jesse and me. I stared into his watery purple eyes. All I saw there was evil. Pure evil. Why hadn't I seen it before?
What if we refuse to go along with this? What if we don't decide who goes in the bottle?
Don't get me angry, kid. If you don't decide, then I shall make the decision for you. There's no way out of this. One of you must go in the bottle. I'll be back. Midnight.
He waved his arms in the air. His body slowly faded into a thick purple cloud of smoke. And then... he was gone. Time was running out. Jesse and I sat in my room. I had set the bottle on my dresser. Jesse straddled my desk chair and stared at me.
We need a plan, Hannah.
Hey, I think I've got one.
I crossed the room to the night table. I picked up Jean's bottle.
If Jean can't find the bottle, he can't put us in it, right?
You're right. He left the bottle with us. Maybe he's not so smart after all. Let's get rid of it right now.
What if we buried it? We'll dig a hole in the backyard and bury it there.
We grabbed the bottle and raced out to the garage, where we found two old shovels. I handed a shovel to Jesse.
Better dig behind the garage, so Mom and Dad won't see.
We crept behind the garage and chose a spot. I pushed my shovel into the dirt. We worked as quickly as we could, digging a hole behind some bushes. By the time we finished, the hole was at least 2 feet deep.
Okay. Dump the bottle in there.
I tossed the bottle into the hole. We stared down at it for a second. Then we covered it with dirt. What a relief. We trudged up the stairs to my room.
I can't wait until Gene shows up at midnight. I can't wait to see the look on his face when he sees that the bottle is gone.
Me too.
Relieved, I opened the door to my room.
No, this can't be happening. It can't be.
We both stared at the brown bottle. It stood on my night table, right where it had stood before.
How did that get here?
I don't know. Oh, Jesse, what are we going to do now?
Maybe we can find a better hiding place, you know, someplace a lot farther away.
But what if that doesn't work? We don't have much time left.
Jesse opened his mouth to answer, but he stopped and gaped at the open bedroom window. I turned to see wisps of purple smoke drift in from outside. The purple smoke filled the room. Then the genie began to take shape. The genie rose up over us. He held a gold pocket watch in his gnarled hand.
Why are you here? It's not midnight yet. We still have time.
Gene shook his watch and held it up to his ear.
Oh, I guess my watch is fast. I've got 12 midnight on the nose. See?
Well, you have to go away. You said you would give us more time.
I changed my mind. You've had enough time. Which will it be, Hannah or Jesse?
To my horror, I realized that he was going to put one of us in the bottle, right there and then. I had to do something. My eyes darted around the room. The bottle. I took a deep breath and dove to the night table. My fingers curled around the bottle. I drew my arm back and heaved it at the wall.
No!
The bottle shattered. Shards of glass flew everywhere.
What have you done?
My heart beat wildly. I did it. I really did it.
Don't you realize what a waste of time that was?
My enthusiasm faded fast. Gene waved his hands and did a short dance. Jagged pieces of brown glass flew up from the floor. As the genie danced and waved his hands, the glass rose up to the night table and formed a perfect bottle again. The genie stopped his dance. His smile faded. His eyes glowed with anger and evil.
Don't even think about getting rid of that bottle. I'm losing patience with you. A deal is a deal, remember?
Right. A deal is a deal.
I pointed to my clock. The red digital numbers read 11:50.
Jesse and I have 10 more minutes. You gave us till midnight. A deal is a deal.
Okay. Okay.
In a swirl of purple smoke, he floated back out the window. I ran to the window, slammed it, and locked it.
We have to get out of here. As far away from the genie as we can.
I sprinted over to my closet, tugged out a sweatshirt, and pulled it on.
We have no choice, Jesse.
But where can we go?
We'll head for the woods. There are lots of good places to hide there.
The Fear Street Woods?
The Fear Street Woods.
Moonlight washed over the woods, over the black gnarled trees, casting eerie shadows. Animals cried and howled all around us, strange howls that sent cold shivers down my back. I glanced at my watch, nearly midnight.
Hannah, do you hear something?
I stopped and listened. The wind whispered through the trees behind us. An animal howled somewhere nearby.
Hey, let's go back. I don't like this, Hannah. This is a bad plan.
Yes, it is a terrible plan.
I whirled around. The genie floated right behind us.
It's midnight.
The genie reached a gnarled hand toward me. I could feel a shock of purple waves that vibrated around him. The woods glowed eerily. We were all bathed in purple light.
We won't go.
Jesse stepped up close to me. The genie shook his head. His eyes glowed like giant fireflies.
Oh, I was afraid of this. I'll have to make the choice myself. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Hannah, Jesse, who will go? Hannah, into the bottle.
Jean grabbed me by the shoulders. With a desperate jerk, I tugged free. Jesse and I both turned and ran, but a swirl of purple followed us. The genie floated in front of us. We turned and ran toward a clump of willows, trying to dodge Jean, but he floated easily in front of us, an amused smirk on his face.
Trying to run away from a genie? Can you think of a bigger waste of time?
Jesse and I ignored him. We leapt over a fallen log and dove behind a thick clump of evergreen bushes. But the genie was ahead of us, hovering over the ground, waiting for us, sneering at us.
I can turn you to stone. It's one of my better tricks.
Stone? Did he say stone? Yes, stone. The genie had given me an idea. But how could Jesse and I escape in order to try it? Jean hovered menacingly over us. He fixed his gaze on me and raised up the brown bottle.
Hannah, it's time. Say goodbye to your brother and make it quick. Your new home is waiting for you.
The bottle hovered in front of my face. I pictured myself floating up inside it, floating, bobbing in water, forever and ever. We had to escape. We had to get to the garage so I could try my plan. But how? I realized that Jesse and I were trapped. Defeated. It was over. And then...
Hey, yo!
Yo!
I turned to see the Berger brothers leap out from behind the evergreen bushes. Mike had a big net in his hands.
Oh, it's the bunny boys.
Mike and Roy stopped in shock as they saw the genie.
What are you two doing out in the woods?
Looking for people to scare, right, Roy?
Yeah, we howl like animals and frighten people.
I liked you better as bunnies.
Yo, get him, Mike!
Mike moved quickly. He raised a big insect net and swooped it down over the startled genie's head. The genie was so surprised, and Mike was so strong, that he pushed the genie to the ground. This was our chance. I grabbed Jesse's arm and we both took off toward home. I called out thanks to the Berger brothers.
Thanks, Jesse and Hannah, for changing us back to humans.
Well, they're almost human. I knew I'd never been so glad to see them. But how long could they hold Jeannie under that net? Could Jesse and I get to the garage in time? Breathless, we arrived in the garage and hoisted up the door.
Okay, here's my plan. We'll keep the garage dark. I'll stand my sculpture of you behind the work table. I'll tell Jean that you are the one we picked to go in the bottle. Only it really won't be you. It'll be the sculpture. You hide in the back of the garage. We want the genie to think that the sculpture is you. We want the genie to put the sculpture in the bottle. That way, we'll be safe. Maybe if it's dark enough, he'll fall for it.
I moved quickly to my work table. I uncovered my life-size sculpture of Jesse. The nose still wasn't right. But it was too late to worry about that. Jesse hid behind the curtains in the back of the garage. Suddenly, the garage was filled with swirling purple smoke. The genie floated quickly into the garage, his robe flowing around him. His eyes flashed purple, like two coals in a dying fire.
Oh, those bunny boys are strong, but not strong enough to hold a wisp of smoke. Are you ready, Hannah?
He floated closer. I could feel the electric purple waves shooting off his body.
Well, there's been a change of plan.
A change of plan?
I nodded. I gestured to the Jesse sculpture, standing so still behind the work table.
Jesse's going into the bottle. He's being very brave.
I pretended to cry.
He's decided he will be the one.
I let out a sob. I made sure my shoulders trembled. The genie turned to the figure of Jesse. He narrowed his eyes at it, squinting into the deep darkness. Would he fall for the trick? Would you believe that Jesse was standing there? I backed up to the full-length mirror. I stopped when I felt the mirror press against my back. I sucked in my breath as the genie floated closer to the work table. He stared hard at the sculpture, squinting at it for what seemed like hours. He started talking to the sculpture. It was working.
It won't be so bad, Jesse. It's a little cramped in there, and there's no bathroom. But after 100 years or so, you'll get used to it.
I crossed my fingers and held my breath as Gene lowered the bottle to the garage floor in front of him. Then he raised both hands and began to chant. I pretended to cry loudly. I covered my face with both hands and let out a sob after sob. But all the while, I had my eyes on Gene, swaying from side to side. His voice grew louder, stronger. Clouds of purple smoke floated around and around the garage. The purple mist floated around the bottle on the floor and around my sculpture. The genie was waving his hands and swaying hard. He chanted even louder. Then he suddenly stopped. The purple clouds vanished. Then he turned to me. Even in the darkness of the garage, I could see the anger on his twisted features.
My eyesight is pretty bad, Hannah, but not that bad.
What do you mean?
That's not Jesse. That's your clay sculpture. Your little trick didn't work, Hannah. Now you will have to pay.
Gene raised both hands towards me. His eyes glowed so brightly they lit up the garage. He began to chant. He swayed his whole body and chanted louder. I could see the purple clouds rising all around. My eyes lowered to the brown bottle. I saw wisps of purple float around it. I suddenly felt drawn to it. I felt myself being pulled to the bottle. The genie's chant became a scream. He waved both hands hard, shot a final purple bolt of electricity at me. I took a deep breath and ducked. Hit the garage floor and rolled away, and turned in time to see the bolt of purple lightning hit the full-length mirror that had been behind me. The lightning bounced off the mirror and shot back at the genie. It surrounded him, swirled over him. The genie blazed in purple light, a light so bright I had to shield my eyes. I opened my eyes in time to see the genie shrink inside the purple electricity, shrink, into the brown bottle. With a desperate leap, I dove to the floor and shoved the cork deep into the bottle opening. The bottle shook hard in my hand, and then it was still. Jesse crawled up from his hiding place behind the cartons. I struggled to catch my breath as I climbed to my feet.
Wow! How did you do that, Hannah?
I ducked. That's all. I ducked. And the mirror was right there, and the genie cast his spell on himself.
We stared down at the brown bottle, so still, so silent, so harmless now. I picked it up.
I won't feel safe until this is back in Fear Lake.
You mean?
Yes. We have to take it there. Right now. I have to know that it's gone forever.
We headed back through the Fear Street woods. I carried the bottle tightly in two hands. I wanted to run to the lake and toss the bottle away as fast as I could, but I walked slowly and carefully. I didn't want to accidentally break the bottle and let the genie escape.
Do you believe the Berger Brothers actually helped us?
Yeah. We kind of got our wish after all. I mean, they're our friends now. We don't have to be afraid of them anymore.
Weird. I guess the genie came through for us, in a way.
Yeah, I guess.
But I didn't care about the genie. When we reached the edge of the lake, sparkling like silver under the pale moonlight, I pulled back my arm and heaved the bottle as high and as far as I could. It sailed out far and hit the water with a solid plunk. Water splashed up around it. The bottle dropped below the surface. Then I saw it bob back up to the top. Jesse and I both let out happy tears. We actually hugged each other, something we haven't done since I was 4. We did a happy dance of celebration, tossing each other around, our shoes slapping the wet mud of the lake shore. I stopped dancing when I tripped over something. I caught my balance and gazed down.
What is that?
Jesse bent down and picked it up. It was a lamp, a strange-shaped brass lamp. He held it up close to his face with both hands.
Weird. It's like those magic lamps in fairy tales, you know? The kind you rub and you get three wishes and...
No, Jesse, don't! Don't rub it! Don't rub it!
But it was too late.
That's the story of the three evil wishes. I hope you enjoyed it. Do you know what my wish is? To meet you again soon with another story from the Ghosts of Fear Street. This is R.L. Stein reminding you, the Ghosts of Fear Street, they'll haunt you forever.
R.L. Stein's Ghosts of Fear Street, Three Evil Wishes, was created by Parachute Press and published by Minstrel Books. The role of Hannah was played by Heather Matarazzo. Jean was played by Tony Roberts. Jesse by Craig Lawler. Mike by Heath Patelis. And Roy by Brett Tabasel. It was adapted for audio by Lawrence Axsmith. The recording engineer was Rick Bradley. Post-production and sound design by Gary Fink. Original music composed and performed by Ari Frankel. The associate producer was Florence Barreau Adams. Three Evil Wishes was produced and directed by Susan Perrin. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio.